heal our broken hearts. Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And happy Thanksgiving weekend. This is Jeff Gaffney, and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. I'll be your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate faith into the different areas of our lives. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. Today we'll be coming from the Gospel of Matthew, starting in chapter 6. It goes like this. These are words of Jesus. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink, or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. And again, that is Matthew chapter 6, and we were reading from verses 25 to 34, the punchline being, seek first the kingdom. Again, thanks for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and on this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer, and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you. Again, we hope you had an incredible Thanksgiving and enjoying a wonderful weekend. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us. And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. With us on the program today, we have my new friend, Jason Perry. Jason, for our listeners, could you just let us know who is Jason Perry and what do you do?
So, again, my name is Jason Perry. I own a company called Trident Shield. We're a training and consulting company that specializes in workplace violence and active shooter preparedness. My background that led me into that is I was a SEAL for 16 years, did Boston SWAT for about 4 years, then did executive protection for a high-value client worth $49 billion after that. Mm. Then Sandy Hook happened, and I realized I didn't want to just help somebody who could afford 100 of me. Mm. I'd rather try to save everyone. So I started my company a few months later after Sandy Hook.
Mm, wow. And so do you train companies in Charlottesville?
We train people nationally. We train companies, churches, schools.
Wow.
Anybody will listen.
Mm-hmm. And I guess there's a lot of training to be done.
Yeah, there is. There is. It's not an easy fix, but it's... With a little bit of due diligence, situational awareness, it can be done.
Mm. Well, what's a guy like you doing on a show talking about faith? Tell us a little bit about your faith journey.
Yeah, my faith journey is a long one. I wasn't one of those lucky guys who'd be born into faith. I was an atheist, a diehard atheist, 37 years.
Wow.
And I used to beat up Christians all the time with, you know, verbally, not literally. Mm. You know, they were, it, you know, we had, religious Christian sales, and I used to try to challenge them all the time. And there was this one guy who his name's Travis McNeese, and he was the most at peace, happy, good dude I ever met. And we ended up spending some serious time together, and I originally started busting on him about his faith, and he took it in stride and used it to talk some sense to me. And right about that time, through another source, a book came into my life called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And it's the it's how I needed to be reached. I was raised secular in the Northeast in Boston, where evolution is taught as fact, and anybody who thinks otherwise is crazy. So I needed to have the I had a rational decision to realize that faith was possible. And then once it was possible, the Holy Spirit did the rest. You know, I let my guard down, and it was quite an incredible thing. So so I became kind of an agnostic at 37 years old, and I started saying, okay, this is probably more possible than not. And I started checking out churches and going through First Steps or Alpha classes, this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, kind of was that's where it stayed, that light relationship for a while. And then I moved back to Boston, my hometown, after I lost my little brother to heroin. And I wanted to, you know, I walked away from my Navy SEAL career. It was 16 years, no retirement, no pension, no nothing, because I really wanted to get into the war on drugs and protect communities that I grew up in, which were some not so nice ones in Boston. So I went there, and I was told about this church all the way down in Panama City, Florida, where I was at the time, Park Street Church in Boston, which is one of the oldest churches in America. And they have had an amazing pastor there who just retired this past June, a friend of mine, Gordon Hugenberger, who's really one of the brightest minds in Christianity. And I was blessed to be in that congregation. And then I actually was in his living room going through, you know, when I joined the church, I had to go through a month of classes to understand the faith. And I just became great friends with him. And he really helped me wrap around the hard questions, you know, of the faith, especially in the Old Testament, creation, you know, was the world created in 7 days? And, you know, him, he's got a unique challenge in Boston. Boston has more schools per capita, colleges per capita than anywhere in the world. So it's a secular, you know, bastion. And he, you know, is got a Harvard background, I believe, and some MIT and Yale and all kinds of stuff. So he really rolled into the hard stuff and embraced science all the way, which is what I kind of needed. But I must say, I did not get the relationship component of with, you know, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit. And I was still going rational. And so it took me a little bit later. I went to a program called ORW, which is Operation Restored Warrior, which helps vets deal with PTSD and all that stuff. And I went there from a good friend, Mike Ferruccio, sponsored me to go
on the
there.
Show.
Yeah, Mike Ferruccio is a great guy. And so he's like, hey, Jay, you got to go there, you know, because I was helping veterans in my gym at the time that I owned, you know, dealing with issues and helping heroin addicts try to get their life, you know, back on track. And he's like, you got to need this, you know, you need this, you need to go there so you can help these people. But he knew I needed to go, and he just knew that I'm such a knucklehead that, you know, you're not going to tell me I need this, you know. So I went there, and I experienced true healing, discovered what my wounds were for the first time, and was really able to walk my faith out, you know, in a much deeper, more meaningful way with, you know, with Jesus and the Father, you know. So that's kind of it. You know, my wife, she'll tell you, while I was away at this camp, you know, it's intensive 5-day spiritual journey with a bunch of prayer warriors praying over you. It's absolutely phenomenal. And she'll tell you that my voice even changed, like the level of peace in my voice and serenity. You know, I was a guy who I lived, breathed, and existed on anger. That's what I was. That's fueled everything I did. You know, I had a kind of rough go growing up. And the way I motivated myself is I'll show everyone. And I used to channel the darkest music, most angry music I could find, all that stuff. And this really changed everything for me.
So your wife and others would say that there's tangible evidence of your transformation.
Oh, without a doubt. And I can speak upon that in different ways.
We're heading to the break here in a second, but let me ask this question before we head to the break. Early on in your story, you mentioned that there was this guy.
Yeah, Travis.
And you know, I get to interview a lot of people. That's a cool thing about the job here on Everyday Faith. I get to ask people about, how did you come to faith? And I find this common thread that there was this woman or there was this man. There's like one person that had just an influence, and it may have just been what you touched on. There was a piece about them. There was something different about them. And there was it's almost as if they had something I wanted, or at least was curious about. Can you go a little bit deeper on that one guy?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we've got time.
Okay. Yeah, so what I saw about Travis was that everything rolled off of him. Mm. You know, he had this peace, this serenity, and he was the happiest guy I've ever met in my life. Mm. You know, he had a great wife, a great marriage, relationship, adopted a bunch of children, had some of his own. And, you know, he was just really the most well-grounded, wise guy I've ever met. And I've known a lot of great guys. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of made me, the way he always said is, hey, God, you know, I'm not going to push you on people, but you set up the appointments and I'll be there. And so I set up a lot of appointments with Travis, and he kind of walked me through a bit of my journey.
There's a verse that we talk about on this program. It's, I believe it's 1 Peter 3:15. It's kind of the apologetics verse that says, always be prepared to give a defense for the reason for your hope.
Yep.
But the next part is, but do it with gentleness.
Yes.
And it sounds like he had that. He wasn't pushing it on you.
No, he waited for you. Personalities always will resist that. Mm-hmm. When someone rises up, they push against.
Yeah.
Whereas if you get vulnerable with an alpha personality and you expand that, it just goes a lot further.
Yeah. So
and that's why testimonies are so important.
He had this joy. It sounds like he had this joy.
And he had that joy that, you know, I just wanted a piece of because I was angry.
Yes.
I was always angry. You know, I mean, that was the furnace that kept me going. And I'll be honest, I struggled after I lost that anger to find my fuel.
Right. Where's the edge?
Yeah.
I got my edge back.
You know, like going in the gym. You know, I used to listen to the most vile music I possibly could to get angry to, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I gotta listen to Christian music?
Mm-hmm. You're right.
It's so rough. So just trying to, you know, figure out how to tap into that.
Right.
And then the relationship that you have with Jesus and the Heavenly Father, and that was really, really different. You know, I always understood Jesus, but I didn't understand the Father. And you know the thing that really helped me was ORW, and then watching the, you know, reading The Shack, and then all that, and understanding, because I really didn't have a father. My mom had him, she was 16. My dad was 18, and then I was just kind of passed around for a while in my family back and forth. So you know, having that father figure, I never knew what to do or how to expect that. So you know, the whole term Papa, when they use that actually in The Shack, really touched me, because that was my grandfather's nickname.
Wow.
And he was the closest thing I had to a father. So, you know, but knowing that, you know, I'm not sitting there, you know, because again, depending on who you talk to, you know, the fathers is, picture him, this flowing beard, judging. And there wasn't a lot of love there, you know, from what I had heard as an atheist and everything else. And embracing that love and being, you know, wrapped in the Father's love is just such a powerful thing.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We have so much more to talk to Jason Perry about. We're going to take a quick break. Be right back. Please stay with us. And then you're out of desperation. Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving weekend. On the program with us today, I love this interview. I'm just feeling really blessed to have Jason Perry with us on this program today. Jason, very powerful testimony. I want to get to this question. So you were atheist, agnostic, and then now just a full-on believer, fired up, man of faith. What would you say to the guy or gal who's listening who just hasn't been able to get there? They're listening to this program, and they're saying either, you know, what I hear a lot from listeners is either I'm not worthy, I've done too much, there's no hope for me, or kind of that's kind of one bucket, or the other one that I hear so much for is that, you know, that just seems like a big old history book that you guys read out of, and that you know, that you're studying dead people in God's word. And is there anything that you would say to the listener struggling with those issues?
Well, I just, you know, my wife just 90 days ago gave her life to Christ. So she was a project there for a while that we were working on, and she had a very similar background as I did. You know, raised secular in the Northeast as a bachelor in science from New England, University of New England. Okay, I want to get that right. She's in the studio over there, so I don't want to say her, you know, her rival or anything. And you know, and so we started with the same book that I started. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist, and then we started, I started a small group in my house of married couples, and she participated in all that, and that really helped. But what I would say is, you know, engage in dialogue. You know, you can't, you know, if you're curious, dig into the science of it, if that's your barrier. If your barrier is this is impossible, well, dig into the science. There's plenty of resources out there. You know, watch Ravi Zacharias debate, you know, people at Yale and Oxford and all these places, and mop the floor with them. You know, you'll get a sense of, you know, eventually you see that, you know, atheism takes, again, a lot more faith to believe that this is all random chaos than divine design, and that's your step to being an agnostic. And then after that, you check out, you know, check out Jesus. You know, or just say a Hail Mary prayer yourself. Just say, Jesus, if you're real, you know, I'm open to believing you. Just show me. Just show me, and He will. You know,
yes,
that's
He will.
The best advice I could possibly give.
That's
anyone.
Great advice. That's great advice. Talk to me a little bit about, I want to get back to this transformation thing. And can, as you look back on your life now, can you now see kind of where you are now and looking back, can you now see how maybe you had some holes or some gaps that you were searching to fill it maybe this way or that way or this way. And so you've tried all these things, came up empty. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes in and brings you what you needed.
So I had a massive wound of abandonment in my life. That was my hole. So with that hole came, okay, I'm going to, you know, everyone's going to abandon me. No one really truly loves me. No one's going to do that. So I tried to fill it with relationships with women. I was a womanizer. I was, you know, I tried partying. I tried everything to do that. And I, all, you know, I would constantly self-destruct relationships or do things because I believed that everyone would eventually abandon me. And I didn't recognize what that wound was until actually ORW, when I went in there. And they walked me through my earliest memories all the way up to that, and I got extreme healing over that. And, you know, one of the things was is I, you know, I have a son, but I never really wanted children, you know, because it's just something, it was a wound that I had that children always displaced me. You know, my mom, I had a younger brother. She took him and raised him. My dad had another family with kids, and he chose them. And so I was kind of left with my grandparents and kind of got passed around. Mm-hmm. So I had built up this wound, and I just never wanted them. And then I got married, and my marriage imploded. Had a son in that marriage who has autism, and I had a big crisis of faith that, you know, after having a son with special needs, and Lauren really helped me with my walk coming back with that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so I had this wound, and once I got there and I got that healing, I instantly wanted children. Mm. And, you know, and my wife, Lauren, she was very much like me, never wanted kids, never wanted anything. She became a Christian all of a sudden. We want to have a child now, you know, and it's just this, it's just this miraculous healing. And if I can speak upon the Holy Spirit for a moment, you know, a lot of people don't understand how that works. And I can give you a classic example how the Holy Spirit worked in my life to make change in me. So, again, I have talked about listening to the most vile music, and I, you know, loved it. It's what I did. And one of my favorite songs, because I was so bitter, was a song called God Hates Us All. And that was my, like, go-to anthem for whatever. And without me even trying, one day, I couldn't listen to it. So I didn't have to work at it. I didn't have to do anything like that. And the same thing happened with, like, say, porn. Like, one day, I became so attuned. I didn't have to work at it. Yes. It wasn't work, and it just... I didn't want to look at it, you know, and it's like, that's the power of the Holy Spirit working in you, where you don't even have to work at kicking some things.
Yes.
And it works that way for me.
Yes.
Right. I don't know if it works that way for everybody, but for me, it was like something that was habitually part of my life forever. You know, in the military, you get lonely and you're overseas and there's not much. And that's one of the few releases you have. And just ever wanted to do it again.
Wow. That the first thing that sort of pops in my mind is the John chapter 15, the vine chapter, and one of the verses there talks about pruning. And oftentimes we don't want to let go of things, and God will come in and prune some things, take some things away, remove some things that may be painful at the time, but it's just providing a place for new growth.
Yeah. Well, I didn't even have a cut. It was just, I just felt a total disgust for those things.
Wow.
Like that.
Turn this way.
Yeah. It was a switch and it was gone. And, and, you know, so it was really remarkable.
I want to ask another question. This one might, forgive me if I come too close to anything.
No, go for it.
The loss of your brother. C.S. Lewis is this theologian that we quote a lot on this program, and he has this quote that says that God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he yells to us in our pain. Did you experience more of God during the loss of your brother? Or what happened to your faith at that time?
Yeah, at that point with my brother, I was still an atheist. Okay. I was still in the throes of that. Okay. And I actually had a cancer scare and all that stuff, and it still didn't drive me to the Lord. I didn't want to, you know, again, I was too proud or any of that stuff. I didn't want to lean on anybody. I didn't want to, that wasn't the way to work for me. For me, it was a surrender, but it was just, I had to, my mind had to comprehend that it was possible.
Wow.
Step one, the scientist in me. And then step two was then understanding my relationship with the Father and Jesus. So, but through pain, when my son, if I can relate to this. So while I was a Christian, you know, when I had first come to faith, you know, my son was born. We and he got diagnosed with autism a short time later. And watching him struggle really challenged my faith. Really challenged my faith. And I remember when Lauren and I were dating, and I said to her, I'm like, listen, I'm in this crisis of faith right now. I know you're an atheist. I go, I was an atheist. And we used to talk, you know, theological stuff a lot. And I said, I don't know which way I'm going on this road. I go, I don't know if I'm going to end up all the way on Camp A or if I'm going to go back, you know, in the atheist aspect, or if I'm going to stay, you know, if I'm going to go back and to being a Christian. And she was very brave and courageous and said, I'll do this walk with you. And I was pulled back in 100% wrapped around. And it was from great guys that really love and care about me, one being Mike Ferruccio and several others who just, you know, walked it out for me.
And Rick Tamburino, we've had on the show here too.
Yep, Rick's a great guy.
There's another verse that we quote a lot on this program. It's Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. It's the story of Joseph's life. At the very end, this verse that says, what the enemy meant for bad, God will use for good.
That I firmly believe that 100%. And that's part of when you start diving deep into the word and you start seeing tragedy use good, you know, whether it be the heroics exhibited in Las Vegas during that awful attack. You know, out of the worst of humanity, the best of humanity rises, you know, and, you know, so that's something I truly believe.
Man, it has been awesome having you on this program. I have about 58 other questions to ask you.
But you can have me back anytime.
Man, we're out of time. And I just appreciate your willingness to hop on the show.
No problem.
Tell your story. You have been a blessing to a lot of people. I just know that.
You.
I believe that. And so, so Jason Perry, I'll say to you and to your lovely bride, your entire family on this Thanksgiving weekend, I'll say, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and continue to give you peace.
Thank you very much, my friend.
Thanks for joining us. This is Everyday Faith Radio. I hope you and your family have just a blessed rest of this weekend. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate each and every one of you. Again, Everyday Faith Radio. We'll see you next week on the program. Lend your presence overwhelm. Come restore.